Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Creative Weirdos podcast. I am so stoked to be sharing this new episode with you. Thank you for the patience during the little break I took there to catch up on just life, more busy than ever with work and kids stuff and trying to get some stories out. I've been really pushing myself to tell a bunch of stories via a few different projects that I'm really excited to share with you. But for today, I have a beautiful conversation with a lovely new friend. Jasmine is a wonderful artist and a fellow coffee industry creative, I guess, which is really fun to talk to because I get to bring up a whole bunch of different things that I don't normally get to talk about on the podcast. So enjoy this conversation and go check out all of Jasmine's work below. And yeah, I'm really excited to bring you a few more really special ones coming up. And thank you for supporting this. If you want more, there's the Patreon and the shop linked below. But for now, enjoy the conversation and have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Yeah, so Jasmine, thank you for being here. I will start there, and like I'm very appreciative of your patience. I had a little snafu with my tire there, but I'm glad we were still able to connect this morning because I've been looking forward to this all week. But we were just talking about our roles in our separate small businesses, and I feel like we probably have some similarities with what we do. And I was giving a talk yesterday at the college I graduated from. They're doing like an artist, alumni artist series. And it was really cool to talk to like 18-year-olds that are currently trying to, you know, make their way or find their creative path and stuff. But a big question, like something I said in the talk was that don't plan on just being an illustrator or a cartoonist or an animator. Plan on being like 9 things at once, because not only if you're living the freelance life, do you have to fill in work gaps and like pick up jobs where they come, but you also are going to be a financial planner. You're going to be your own accountant. You're going to be your own, you're doing your invoices, all of these things that are just very overlooked when you're in that stage of life. And I think it kind of didn't rub some kids the wrong way when I was like, yeah, I don't know any cartoonist that is just a cartoonist or any illustrator that's just an illustrator. And I wanted to kind of start there because I don't really talk too much on here about my exact role. Like I present as a full-time artist, which I'm lucky enough that is mainly true. But at the end of the day, I'm still tasting and helping pick out coffees. I have wholesale clients I'm dealing with that I helped found the company. And when I started the wholesale side of things, I have like a handful of people that won't leave me because they want that connection, and it's awesome. But like, I'm still, no matter how much I'd say it started being like 20% art and 80% business, and now it's probably closer to like a 70% art and 30% business. Like it's definitely, but it's never fully. And I haven't met anybody in doing this where they're like, yep, all I do is draw the stuff and like I get paid somehow. And like, it's not a reality. But what's your experience? How do you balance the creative side of your business and then all of the stuff that makes it so you can support a household and everything else?
Yeah. So, basically, as my husband and I started our business, our goal was to do what we love. So we kind of just built our business around that. And so coffee, we both love the coffee industry. So we're like, this is a no-brainer. Like, we love the community that it provides. We love how it brings people together. And running a business has always been kind of both of our dreams too. We both come from households that are entrepreneurial. Like, I come from a salon family where I grew up in a salon. So like, my parents own that and I've been around that forever. And yeah, his parents have been like, owned their own business too. Like, his dad is a drain cleaner, which isn't as glamorous per se, but definitely like inspired self-employment. Yes. So let's see, balancing like art and creativity into that. I have always really loved like design and illustration and just like making things like practical, like bringing art into a space that you can actually apply it and utilize it in like real life. Yeah. So like coffee bag art, that makes sense, right? Because then you can take home like a piece of art and then drink it and look at it and be happy.
That's beautiful.
So I think that it's always like, that's always forced me to like keep being creative with that. And then having my own business, I get to make all the creative shots. And so getting to design like stickers for our jar lids, because we have our jar program, and getting to do like, what else? Like even retail and merchandise and stuff like that. Yeah. And our menu, like just being able to just draw kinds of funny things for all those. It's great. And then I get to use my art or my coffee shop to sell my art. So like it all just comes full circle. Yeah. And then like with Jake, he likes to do music, like he's a musician. And so he gets to do that with the business, and he gets to do the roasting because he's passionate about that side of it. I'm about customer service. I love that side of it. And he really loves the getting to do the nerdy coffee stuff. Like, you know, you probably relate to that.
Yeah. No, I came at it from similar to you, like what sounds like similar to you, as far as I had no interest in coffee in general. I, up until like doing Brandywine, was a freelance illustrator and trying to be a full-time illustrator. I was doing a lot of screen printing for my buddy that had a few bigger gigs. And like, I would take his overflow from his freelance stuff. And eventually I started having enough to where I could, well, I had a really good situation where I was working for a janitorial redistributing company. You know, they sell like mops and paper cups and all that fun stuff. And I was laying out their catalogs. They're like toilet paper catalogs. Here's 500 pages of different toilet paper, and I have to update the prices. But it was awesome because I could do my work for in like about an hour, and then my boss would allow me to just do whatever. Like I, you know, would be submitting for freelance jobs, booking shows for my band, doing all the other stuff that I wanted to be doing. But eventually he was like, you got to go. Like, you got to move on. This is holding you back. I'm firing you. Collect unemployment. Go figure your shit out. And that was the time that I was like, okay, that happened. And I had enough of this freelance work where I could make a go at it. And it really lined up perfectly because my partner, now my wife, Allie, she was working at the local coffee shops that started Brandywine. So there's been coffee shops called Brewaha that have been around since 1993, I think it is. Been around for a long time. And the owner was just looking to start their own roaster company. And at that point, I just went to them, was like, let me run the whole thing. Like, let me do the brand. I essentially want to do these screen printed bags that are like little gig posters for each coffee. Because at that point, I was exposed to coffee enough to know that like each one of them are this individual, very like unique thing. But I didn't really see that in the packaging at the time, 10 years ago. Like, it was very much like, here's one bag and different color labels might be as exciting as you get. So I was like, let's try and just do something where the images are as fun as what the coffee can taste like, you know? And that was my whole thing. And exactly what you said, I wanted that bag to sit on someone's counter so that if they look at it, they smile a little bit or just laugh or like something, you know. It doesn't have to be serious. It doesn't have to, I don't think any of our stuff has like has the brand on it or anything. Like, I just wanted something that could stand alone and just be something that people could enjoy while making their coffee. And so I got really into the coffee side of things because I got into the roasting and doing that. I kind of did it all in the beginning. I was like, okay, I'll help. I'm going to figure this all out. And it was, my whole plan was to be like, I now have however many years of this thing that I started the brand of and built to this point, and I could go get other jobs. And then I kind of fell in love with it. I was kind of like, I kind of love this little baby that is Brandywine, and it will hopefully be like, you know, my forever thing. Like, it's the thing that, like, I think at this point, like, I can't see living without. I still get to do other fun freelance stuff, but it's awesome to hear that art was at the center of it for you from the beginning. Were you a maker growing up? Like, when did you fall in love with making things?
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's see. I think my whole life, I've always just kind of looked at everything in my life and been like, how can I make this different? Or how can I make it like more like what I would like? Yes. And so I think I've always just had a very creative imagination. That's probably where it started. I don't know how to give a more thorough answer.
No, that's great. Actually, I ask a lot of people this, and this might get a little bit weirder, but like, your imagination, I'm very interested in how people visualize things, right? Like, are you familiar with aphantasia, where people don't have any mental image? So if you tell them to visualize an apple, they can't picture anything. This is
I cannot imagine that.
Right. I have a couple friends like that, and it's made me do a couple deep dives into, like, there's a spectrum, right? Like, some people you say apple to and they visualize a photograph of an apple, like a very realistic. For me, it's like a Simpsons apple, or like the apple from Sleeping Beauty is the first thing that comes into my mind, right? These cartoony, like, not quite. Do you have a relationship with the images? Like, what do you see when I say apple?
Okay, let's see. When you say apple, it actually, like, a bunch of different images come into my head. It's just like this is weird. Okay, it's like my brain just like shows like a very like rapid slideshow of like all these different like interpretations of apple.
Totally. Like, no, that's,
it's like
beautiful.
A whole storage catalog.
Yes, no, absolutely. I think that's like why words are so cool, because they are like this little thing that holds a million things in one, you know, like every word like represents something different to other people. And I think it's so interesting to think about stuff like that. And coffee is a great way to think about it too, as far as taste goes, because everybody's taste experience is completely subjective depending on what they grew up eating, how old you are, depending on how fast your taste buds regenerate. There's all of these factors, and it's just I love these reminders that we're all experiencing life a little bit differently, and that's good. It's better that way, you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, everyone's perspective is valuable. So like, yeah, it is a nice reminder that like all of our senses are different, and like how we're actually perceiving and receiving our experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fun.
Totally. So as far as the making and the creative side of the job, in both, you know, you were saying getting to do the hospitality and do the artwork and everything, how do you approach this at this point? Like, do you just batch everything as far as like, okay, this is all drawing time, or this is all creative work time? And is it all just a big mix at this point?
So it kind of doesn't have super great like structure. It's more just like, okay, what needs the most attention today? So like, if it's literally like, no, like we need to get art for this new coffee that we just got, that's like the priority.
Totally.
But then otherwise it's like, okay, what else needs attention today? Like, what else do I need to be working on? And right now I'm trying to get some tumblers done, so that's what I'm like working on today. Let's see. But yeah, it's not super organized. It's just kind of like, what do I need to do today? And I just do my best to focus and not get distracted.
Yeah. Yes, I know that feeling. I like, it's funny because I need that structure of the non-structure, if that makes sense. Like, I need to be able to be flexible enough to go from thing to thing, but I still need very specific, like, this has to be done by this. And like, it's funny, I think having kids has helped me with this a lot, because the way I view like how much you can get done in 5 minutes has changed completely. Like, the way that I view how to utilize time when the kids are at school or other, like, it's just very, it's a very different way to live, but it's been very helpful for my creativity, because I kind of push through that, like, oh, I need to sit here and find the right thing to listen to, or I need to sit here and find the right YouTube video to watch, or like, it kind of makes me just push through all of that. And I found myself sitting with a lot more quiet time, and it's been very helpful. And I don't know, the house is very loud and boisterous and full of life most of the time with the kids here, which is awesome, but it kind of has made me look for a little bit more of the quiet, like, reflective time and stuff. Do you find that when you're making things, it's a bit of a meditative process, or do you have like a good relationship with it that way, or is it more of a just kind of frantic making?
Okay, so no to the frantic making. I think it's frantic sometimes leading up to it if I'm putting pressure on myself, but mm-hmm. then when I'm actually doing it, it's very much just like free flow, and it feels very like, I don't know if cathartic's the right word, probably. It just feels very much like I'm just in it and like just going with in the flow and letting it just kind of come out. Or I'll just start with something, be like, okay, let's see what this turns into. You know?
Absolutely. No, that's awesome.
Until it's like done.
It's definitely, it's the best feeling when you sit down and you're like, oh, that was 5 hours and now there's this thing here and you didn't feel it at all, you know? Like, I've always been fascinated with that relationship with time that you can get with creativity, and even more now, like, watching my kids do it. Like, I'll watch my kids, they'll just lose hours in just like drawing, and then usually if they're just playing with a toy or something, it's like a 5-10 minute exchange. But once they're actually making something, they can lose themselves in it, which is it's even cooler to see it happen to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Totally. Especially since you made them. So it's like this weird, like you're watching something you made make something.
It's the whole thing's very weird. It's the most psychedelic paranormal thing I've ever been a part of by far. Like my kid, like having kids is something I never really planned on doing. It was one of those things that was just like, oh, this is going to happen now. And like, I mean, we tried to have them and everything. It wasn't like, oh, this is happening. But it was one of those things I never planned on in my life path and at young, but got to a point where it felt right. And it really is. It's been the best thing for my like creative life, like having something to externalize some of the anxiety around making stuff and just being like, oh, now I have a whole, like, essentially they are the best art directors. I say, like, when people ask me about like, where do you get your inspiration? How do you come up with so many ideas for all these coffee bags? And I'm like, if you look, it just progresses with my kids. When my kid was into space, there's lots of space. There's dinosaurs when he's into dinosaurs. And like, it just kind of moves up with them, because when you watch the way they interact with the world, you realize that that's what I'm shooting for. Like, that's what I want. I want that like childlike interaction. Like when he, my kid will pick up like rocks and just interact with them like they're real people, or he'll just like, he has these beautiful imaginative experiences that like I feel like we could all use a little bit more of as an adult.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I have that experience with like nieces and nephews because I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. But I also am the oldest sibling of like 6 kids. So I have 5 younger siblings too. Yeah, like I've been around kids my whole life, just not my own. Like if that happens, it'll happen and it'll be later. It'll be fine.
No, but no, and what's nice is, it's funny, like birthing things is something I think about a lot in weird ways for, I don't know, my brain's weird.
Birthing is scary.
Birthing is scary. Like it's 100%. Having gone through 2 of them, neither of them are things I would like recommend or go through again, to be honest. It was like, I can see why the brains do that thing with the chemicals to be like, forget how weird that was, do it again, it'll be fine, because
funny.
It's a wild process. Yeah. But it's definitely it's one of those things that I think about with like artistic careers or paths and things, and like having a company is birthing something in like a very similar way, and like it's very important to like, I don't know, get that same perspective. Like you can get that same perspective I'm talking about just from doing novel it's all about novelty. It's all about injecting those things that make you look at the world a little differently. Mm-hmm. And hopefully a little bit more like, oh, this shit is magic, and like everything is like I don't mean to keep talking about parenting, but that is like the best part of having kids that I had, was like learning about how breastfeeding works and all that. I'm like, oh, we're just like that is magic. Like you straight up, like your body will produce things to fix the kid that you've never ingested. Like it's crazy, like how, and like, I don't know, we just look at things very materialistically a lot. And I like using those same those same points to look at things a little weirder and a little bit more like, oh, this world is enchanted and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Do you have, like, since you get to kind of run did you always want to run a brand, I guess, is the first question. Like, is that something you've been interested in for a long time? Or was this just what ended up being your expression?
Great question. I don't know. I think that, so I was a designer for a while before that. And I, like, both as freelance and working for like a design firm, I did that for like a year, but I was 17, 18 at the time. My life story is weird. I like to say my life is a bad hipster movie because lots of weird things have happened that are like, oh yeah, that's specific. But as my experience with that was that I kind of hated doing design work for other people. So I was like, okay, this doesn't feel good. I really don't like doing this. I think I need to like do design work for myself. And so I have found that being able to have kind of like that full say in what that does look like has definitely unlocked that potential for me. And it has opened up that love of being able to actually have the brand, like you said. So that's what I would say. like, it wasn't ever really a plan, but then as it happened, I was like, oh, I really like this. Like, I like that I get to just create, and there's money that comes in to actually fund the creation of new things, where before, if you don't have money, like, So like, having a business has just like allowed us to like, what is it, like, you write off all of your passion stuff because you're like, oh, it's part of the business, so it's a business expense now, like coffee and art supplies and like all that kind of stuff. I think I trailed off there.
No, that was great, and I completely agree. It in the, there is, no matter how like pure or whatever you want to say of an artist, people like you having that response, and it is that like financial response that really is kind of validating sometimes, and like being able to, I mean, I said this yesterday in that talk I gave to I said this yesterday in the talk I gave at my old college that I never, like, I always wanted to tell stories growing up. Like, I wanted to be a cartoonist. I loved drawing weird stuff. I knew from a very young age I was not very good at it. Like, there was several points in life where I hit that, like, oh, there's seven other kids in this class that are way better than I am. Maybe I should just give it up type deal. But as I went through, I realized that really is a very small part of being successful, is like, is the actual craft part of it, as far as it's more about making things that are authentic and like, you know, things that hopefully will resonate with other people. But I told them that like, I would have never thought coffee would be the way I get to draw stuff and support myself creatively. That's the last thing. Like, if you would have told my, you know, 15-year-old self that, I'd be like, that's silly. That doesn't make any sense. How is like drawing coffee bags going to be something I enjoy and be something that like, you know, supports my illustration career or whatever? And it's so funny because that's exactly how it ended up, and like, it's, I'm so glad it did. Like, I feel like it couldn't have happened any other way, and I don't know, it's really cool to see other people in the community kind of find that same story. And excuse me, 1 second. Man, we are getting over sickness in the house from Teddy's like first 2 weeks of school, and like everybody's pretty much good now, but the cough lingers, unfortunately. Dude, it's gross. Like, we've had to do so many COVID tests already, and so many, it's just been no fun. But hopefully we got through the worst of it now. But yeah, it was like finding a creative community, something that you've been pursuing your whole life. Like, what was it like growing up where you grew up? Like, did you have a group of people to make stuff with? Were you part of a music scene? Like, what kind of things were you doing to find your way?
So that's a very good question. Let's see. So growing up, the way that like I kind of found community, I want to say it might be different than most people's, like, let's see. Okay, so how do I explain this? I have been around so many different types of people. Like, growing up, I've just been around so many different types of people. Like, my parents got divorced when I was 8 and then got remarried. And so then I had like 2 families, and they were like very different. And so that, like, I had like 4 adults like teaching me their views on life, and they were all different. Even though they're like, yeah, this is my person and we agree on things, and I'm like, no, you don't. But like, I got to see it because I was like the kid. Yeah. They were 4 very different people, and so I got to like learn how they see things. And then I just also went to a lot of different schools just because of that. I don't know, I just got moved around a lot, shuffled around a lot, and so I learned how to make friends like very naturally, like just showing up in a new space and being like, hey, I'm here, like, who are you? Like, what are you into? Like, yeah, and just kind of like learning about so many different types of people and what they're into, and like so yeah. And then I don't know, so I haven't always just been friends with like artists or musicians or anything, just with all kinds of people. Even if I'm not sporty, I was like friends with sporty people too. Let's see. But then, yeah, like, because my husband, I met him in high school, so we've known each other a really long time. Like, we were best friends for a few years before we started dating.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. Still best friends, right? So,
beautiful.
I know. And it's very funny because I live in Nebraska, and it feels very Nebraskan, but there's a lot of Christian like culture here, yes. and where you get married really young. And I'm like, oh, we kind of fell into that anyway on accident.
It was not a not for those reasons, but it happened that way, right? That's yeah. fine. That's awesome. But, go ahead. No. I was just going to ask about growing up in Nebraska more. Like that's super. I had a recent guest on and a new friend. His name's Steve Berg, and he's all about Nebraska. He's from Nebraska,
really?
And he's all funny. Well. He's all about investigating like paranormal stuff. He's an actor that moved back to Nebraska recently and has been really diving into like UFO cases and cryptid cases in the area and lots of stuff like that. He's super fun dude to talk to, but he brought up the same thing that there's a very heavy Christian tradition in the area about stuff. So, but yeah, what was it like growing up in Nebraska? Is it what people picture? Is it was your experience, do you think, typical, or is it like anything else where it's a very unique to what it was?
Well, I would say I live in Omaha, and that's where I've grown
up.
So I live in like the city-ish, like the city-est part of Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like the little blue dot in the red state. But it's still like very funny. Let's see, how do I answer this? I would say it's not like fully what people think of Nebraska, but it's also yes. Like there's like there's truth, and then there's things that are like not truth. So let's see. I don't know. Like, how do you answer that when you've like lived in the same place? And I guess I can compare it to like places that I've traveled to. And I would say that it's like not that different.
Yeah.
It's not that different. Like we have,
I think that's a great answer.
Yeah, we have neighborhoods full of like small businesses that everyone likes to support. We have a really great small business culture. I've heard that. People like to say it's really great. It's a great place to raise kids. And I can totally see that. Just because it is like very safe and like calm. but we have like a thriving music scene. We have a lot of artists here. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Like we have a great coffee community.
That's very important. It's definitely the answer that I like the most, because it's one of those things I get asked, or I used to get asked a lot, like why I stay in Delaware, because Delaware is very cool. Like most people that kind of lead the life that I leave and get into the like, creative culture and stuff like that, they go to Philly or New York or one of the bigger towns that are only, you know, half hour, 2 hours away. But I've got to travel a lot with a band at a very young age and realize that everybody's just kind of doing the same thing, no matter if you live in Brooklyn or if you live in Omaha or Wilmington, Delaware. You find the like 10 people you like to hang out with, and you hang out with them at their house, and maybe you get a bite to eat. Like it's like I never saw, because I got exposed to like how everything's kind of the same in a good way, not the like homogenous, like, but everybody's just trying to hang out with their friends. And I was like, oh, I don't need to spend the extra money to go live. And I liked the community I was in. So it was one of those things that it was nice to have that exposure. And it's definitely something I'm sure there's some similarities between where we are as far as small town like culture and big cities and whatnot, but it's definitely an interesting thing to view through the hospitality lens. Like, when did your career in hospitality start? Was that something that you fell into or purposefully? What's your history there?
Yeah, so I don't know. I started working really young because I wanted to. So like my first job was like when I was 14, and minimum wage was like $5.25.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I was like a hostess, and like it was fine. I look back and I'm like, well, that was a really funny experience. But from there, let's see, I got into like, I worked at my parents' salon, of course, as like the receptionist. So I learned how to like talk to people and how to like do that part of that service, you know, like assigning appointments and things and like setting them up realistic expectations before the appointments, just good communication skills learned there. And then after that, I got into the coffee industry by working at this really cute bakery that used to be in Omaha. It's closed now, but it was called Delice, and it was a European bakery. And so they had like French pastries and like amazing stuff like Napoleons and eclairs. Ooh. And I know, it was amazing.
That sounds great.
So many different types of cakes. Like I sold so many cakes anyway, because I just love talking about them. Like literally they had like 50 plus different types. And so I have been told I was the best person they ever had working for them. Like, I was the favorite employee. But
that's awesome. I love it.
So that's how I got into hospitality. Like, actually, I would say it was there because I just, like, that's where I dove in and had to learn about, like, how to make coffee. And I was the one who taught my team how to do latte art, like, learned how to do it and then taught others and got really into it. And I loved talking about the things we were serving. And I loved, like, making people feel so excited about the stuff they were about to eat and drink. And so, like, I think that's what really got me into that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's like a high.
No, absolutely. It's funny because I interact with people in that way so little. Like, I had never really had hospitality. Like, I never worked in a coffee shop or any of those. Like, I worked in a kitchen for a long time. I managed a kitchen for a while, and I never, but I've always loved talking to people and stuff. And I didn't realize how much I liked it until I started doing things like what I did yesterday, like giving little talks to, like, whether it's college kids, or I've done a few in the coffee industry about marketing and packaging. And that's really fun for me. Like, I love being able to, like, say a bunch of stupid shit and then hear what people have to say back to me, because it's always one of those things where, like, I just kind of talk the way I talk now. Like, yesterday I started going into about how I don't think consciousness is local and retrocausality is a thing, and I don't think any of the college people were expecting that. And then that's what we talked about the whole time, and it was really way more impactful for them than anything else, because I'm sure you've sat in those, like, this is a working artist and we're going to tell you how we got here, but there's nothing you can really, like, one of the things I've realized just consuming tons of people's artistic path stories, from cartoonists to animators to illustrators, is that everybody's path is completely unique. And once that person breaks into the cartooning world, that door shut. Like, that person did it and no one else can do it like them. So it's almost like I used to get really frustrated by that. I'd listen to these stories and been like, well, you got this thing because you're this assistant to this, and how's that help anybody? And then you're like, oh, it actually is better that way, because that shows that everybody finds their, whether it's like falling into coffee and having that be the support of your creative career, or, you know, all these things that are kind of unplanned. And that was my big, like, thing I was trying to tell them yesterday, is that, like, you just got to be open to everything and willing to, like, make things happen, and, you know, be authentic about it, and something, the path will become clear. It might not, like, you know, they kept saying, like, well, how did you do? I'm like, I can only tell you what happened, like, looking back on it. Like, I couldn't have told you how this, any of this was going to work out, like, going through, even, like, after, like, Brandywine started, we were a thing for, like, 2 years, and it was like, well, this is kind of going well, and then it started going really well, and I was like, well, this could stop at any, you always have that thing where it's like, this could stop at any point, like, you, people could just stop buying our coffee for some reason, you know. It's like, even now we're like 10 years in and pretty well established, and, like, you know, I don't really think about it, but every once in a while I'll be like, oh, what if people just stop liking this, you know? Like, it's just always in the back of your head, right? So I think it's important to just kind of be grateful, and, like, I love just being able to talk to groups of people about weird stuff like that, and I've been using coffee as a means to do that now, and it's been super fun. So yeah, do you get to, like, when you're working on your drawings or your design work and these things, are you listening to stuff, are you consuming audiobooks, podcasts, what do you like to do while you're making things?
A little bit of both. I listen to music and audiobooks, sometimes podcasts. It just depends kind of like how much, it just depends what the vibe is for the day. The types of books that I usually listen to are, like, usually more like on the, like, spiritual side of things. Awesome. So I listen to a lot of that. Yeah. And then sometimes it gets too distracting, and then I have to turn on music so that I can, like, just, like, focus on, like, that.
Totally. Like, do you have a current thing you're listening to right now?
Not right now. I just finished listening to this. Oh gosh, what was it? I would like to give, like, the accurate title of what it was.
No problem. But if I'm putting you on the spot, tell me.
That's okay. Let's see. Okay, this is going to sound really dorky, but it's called The 7 Secrets to Happy, Healthy Relationships. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's by Don Miguel Ruiz, which is one of my favorites. And then it was co-authored by, and I can't see it. Here, 1 second.
Take your time. Yeah. The magic of editing will make it all seem like it happened really fast.
Oh, I love that. Oh yeah, so it's co-authored by Heather Ashamara. So that's, like, something that I just finished listening to.
That's awesome. Was there something you took away from it that you are excited about? I'm always interested in this stuff. Totally. With people. Like, you know, I love listening to things and finding new sources of inspiration and just stuff to fill my ears with. So
totally. Well, I would say like the reason I listened to that one was because there was a book before that I listened to a few years ago called The Mastery of Love. And that one's just by Don Miguel Ruiz. And so I would say like I took more away from that, but I really liked getting to listen to like kind of an extension of it. So yeah, I was like pleasantly surprised because like the co-author of it is someone who like self-identifies as polyamorous. And I thought that was really beautiful because I feel like it doesn't get recognized a lot. And so like you have like an author who like identifies with more traditional like relationship values, or not traditional, that's not the right word, but more like in our culture, more accepted. And then you have this other person, and then they are coming together and being like, yeah, we can agree on these seven things. And yeah. I thought that was really cool because it's like, I don't know. I just find that there's a lot of biases around it.
Absolutely.
So, which for me, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go.
I really liked that. I just really liked that it was like inclusive of like both perspectives, and that they were able to like actually agree on like, no, this is like what healthy relationships look like. And that, I don't know, just like affirming. That's probably the biggest thing I took away from it.
That's so cool. And that I'm going to have to check that out. That's beautiful. And that is something I've thought about a lot with, I listen to a lot of things from Ram Dass to Meher Baba and a lot of these people, and polyamorous lifestyles are definitely prevalent in all of those places, but are not talked about. And I'm always interested in that. Like Ram Dass himself was very polyamorous and, you know, sexually ambiguous and everything else. But none of that stuff's ever really talked about, whether it's like directly from his lectures or through like the people that still kind of run his foundation and stuff. And I know there's some taboo things in there that are probably just like best left not talked about in certain ways. But like, it's always interesting to me because to me, it is a logical conclusion of a lot of those lines of philosophy or spirituality or thought, thought experiments, whatever you want to call those, you know, like, and from your experience, is there other places where you found it represented well?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the nice thing about having like the internet be such a thing now, is that like, I've been able to actually connect with other people who like have actually put thought into looking at it. And I think a lot of people are just really scared to look at it. which is really weird to me, but I don't know. I also really like astrology. And so I'm like, oh yeah, that's just because I have my Venus in the eighth house, which is like Scorpio ruled. So it's like, I'm not afraid to look at it. Like I'll look at the scary thing.
But, absolutely.
but then I find that a lot of people are kind of like, what? And I find that has been like my experience a lot with a lot of things. Like I'm vegan as well. And I find that both of like the values of why I chose to be vegan or why I identify with that, or why I choose to like identify with like polyamory, is because they both are very aligned in values. Like they both value like the autonomy of individuals, like not killing animals and like respecting that. And it also, and then in relationships, like really like respecting like individuals and, does that make sense?
It 100% makes sense. Okay. No, you're that's beautiful, and it's something that I don't think it's prevalent in ways people don't think about, I should say. Like I function in a lot of weird circles, as far as I talk to a lot of paranormal authors and occult authors and things like that, and there's a lot of talk about connection and non-local consciousness and panpsychism, polypsychism, like all of those things and whatnot. And I think both of those lifestyle choices you just talked about and identified are very much a part of that whole story. And like, again, I think it's such a complex, like anything that actually is meaningful, there's no like one way is right and one way is wrong, and everybody should be polyamorous and everybody should be, it's just that like they should all be options and reality tunnels that are accessible for people. And like something that is very interesting, the things that don't get talked about are the things that interest me usually. And it's one of those. I think it's especially when I feel like I function in a lot of places where things that don't get talked about should be talked about a little bit more openly. And that's always fascinating to me too. And I don't know, part of my brain gets a little broken by it because it always goes back. And I think this is probably just my own worldview, but I'm like, this is probably just capitalism, because like supporting polyamorous lifestyles or vegan or these things mm-hmm. don't work in our current economic exactly. are not supported by our economic systems. Yeah. And like, whether you look at it through marriage or any of these structures that we have, like these things break it. And that's the same thing I think of why people don't accept the ideas that are like panpsychism or animism or these beautiful ways to live, because capitalism can't really function if we truly believe that we're all connected and the trees is as valuable, trees life as valuable as our life. Like that really breaks certain structures that people find comfort in, and that in all honesty we're benefiting from right now with both of mm-hmm. our businesses, talking on this Apple computer that I have with this fancy yes. microphone. Like we're all, and like it that's one of my favorite things about people like Ram Dass or these kind of deeper thinkers, are like, there's no pulling the fish out of the water. Like you're the fish in the water, you have to figure out how to swim through that water properly, right?
So like, that's a good way of putting it.
Like yeah, without the water, there's, and I think that's what's beautiful about humans is like, there's this dude Doug Rushkoff that I love, and he wrote a book called Team Human that's one of my favorite books in the last couple of years. And his whole thing is that the human superpower is the squishiness. Like our whole thing is that we're this walking paradox, and that's what makes us special. It's the fact that we're not a one or a zero, we're in between the two. That's why AI will never do what we do. Like these things aren't capable of holding those squishy spaces, and things like polyamorism or veganism or all of these things that are counter to our current culture allow for us to realize that like this is all supporting something fake. You know what I mean? Like it breaks mm-hmm. those narratives. And like, I don't know, it's interesting to me where those narratives hold up. Do you think about this stuff while you're making things? Like, are these the type of thoughts? I'm sorry to kind of like right turn or left turn here, but I'm always interested. Like, this is the stuff that gets me excited. Like when I'm sitting at the coffee or at the drawing mm-hmm. table, and like you were saying, you get distracted by a certain, like whether it's a spiritual text or something. This is the type of ideas that I'll have to stop myself, because I'll realize I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing anymore. I just like am going down this thought hole. Do you think about these things when you're sitting at the drawing table or at the computer, or how you make things?
Well, I find that like when I'm making things, it feels more like a distraction from the things, like from the thoughts, because
yeah.
I don't know. I have found that like there's a lot of how do I say this? Throughout my like whole life, I have found that like there's just been many times where I have just felt misunderstood, and then I'm like, I can't even explain myself because there's too much to explain. And then it's like, is yeah. this worth it to explain this? And so I find that like making things, like yes, they'll influence like what I'm making. Like of course it's me, it's coming out of me, but at the same time it's like, what do I want to put out into the world? Like what do I want mm-hmm. to my influence to be? And yeah. I found that like the things that I like want to express most is like kindness and like accepting everyone. Like I literally will defend almost anyone, so anytime someone like bad talks someone, I will always play devil's advocate and be like, have you yes. considered this? Because I don't think it's cool to be mean to anyone, even if you think they're evil. No. It's like nope.
Dude, Jasmine, I'm so with you on that. And one of my favorite writers or thinkers, people out there these days, Mitch Horowitz, he has a rap that he says on pretty much every podcast he's on, where I can't agree with more. And it's just, he talks about simple things you can apply to your life to make yourself feel better right away, and not shit talking is one of the first things he goes to. He's like, if you want to feel better instantly, stop talking negatively about anybody, yourself included. Just stop it. Like, and he, between that, and he has this whole rap about how you can just leave toxic people out of your life, and that mm-hmm. like those things, like leaving's always an option, and the consequences are never as dire as you think they're going to be. It always seems like it's going to be the end of the world, whether it's financial or familial or all of these things, but we always have the option to leave. And I think like little things like that are so important for people mm-hmm. to put out there. And like, I love that. Like being like playing that devil advocate for the positivity is so, it's a very important role. So that's wonderful that you do that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And it comes through your work too, I want to say. Like through, like, I just from following what y'all have done with the coffee and everything and your branding of it, it all comes through. Like, you can tell. And that's, like, that's one of the weird things. Like, I don't reach out to very many people I don't know to talk on this thing, or like people that I don't like follow their works very specifically and what so. But you are somebody that I'm like, I can talk to Jasmine. Like, this is something that, like, I feel very, like, just from, and it's more from what you put through your brand than, like, I personally have followed you. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. Like, it's so it's working in a bigger way than just your personal interactions.
Yeah. Cause what you put out there, like, okay, I did have, like, I would say that I've had lots of spiritual awakenings over the course of my life. I don't know. I'm also a Pisces, so I'm convinced this is, like, my last lifetime and I'm just chilling, but also, like, graduating out of some stuff. But yes. Like, I'm here to be like, oh God, they're doing that. Like, what are you doing? Like, being like mama bear. But
yes.
But at the same time, I've also had, like, lessons that I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that makes sense. And, like, a big lesson that I kind of, like, realized a few years ago was how important it is to really, like, look inward and kind of figure out, like, what is, like you said, authentic, like, authentic to you. And it's more important to be authentic and to put that out there and lose people because they don't like that than to try to, like, be something you're not to, like, keep people around. Because it's like, if people are falling away because you're being yourself, like, that's painful for a lot of people. And so you're basically like, and that's who we are. We're human. We need community. So it's like, are you choosing authenticity or community? And then I learned that it's like, you can have both, but you have to choose authenticity first. And then community comes.
So, so beautiful and true. I love that. And yeah. So we're getting to, I know you, we're getting to the out time here. Are we still good? Because I have, but if you got to go, we can totally wrap this up right now.
I have more time. I thought we were taking a lunch break up here, but I guess we're not. So
no problem.
Yep.
Well, I will just, I mainly, because you touched on it slightly there. One thing that I go back and forth through asking all of my guests this, but it is, this will be coming out like prime Halloween spooky time. Pretty much, I think it's three okay. weeks out for this one. So, but I used to ask everybody what they think or what their current model of death is, or what their relationship with what happens after we leave the meat sacks we're all kind of hanging out in right now. And I think it, since you kind of mentioned your place as a Pisces and moving on and how many lifetimes you lived, I'd love to hear about your model of things.
Okay. So yeah, let's see. What are my beliefs around life and death? I do
only
really
a small,
like,
question to end it with.
No, that's okay. I think I do subscribe to the idea that we, let's see, I do, like, believe that we do have, like, other people that we choose to, like, meet up with while we're alive. And then sometimes it's funny because you see these people and you know that they're part of your, like, soul family, and you're watching them do stuff and you're like, okay, you're over there doing that right now, you weirdo, like, and but you're like, no,
absolutely,
that, like, you're, like, part of, like, the same family. It's just like they are learning those lessons and you're over here learning your lessons, and it's, like, funny because you're like, oh no, like, we're family. I don't, does that make sense?
Absolutely. You're completely nailed. No, this is great.
Okay,
I love it.
And so I think that, like, we do choose to come to, like, down to earth to, like, learn some stuff, or, like, kind of graduate into, like, more understanding. And I do also subscribe to the idea that, like, it's possible that we do all, like, live every life to kind of, like, learn that full expansion of human experience.
Absolutely.
I love it. And then so what happens when we die? We probably just come back. I don't know. You know, like.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very in line. I go through all different kinds of models all the time, but right now I'm fixated with the idea that, like, what we're here to do is experience linear time and tell stories. Like, when you start, so I'm super into, you know, paranormal stories and time slips and all of these things. And there's these consistent messages that people get. And some of my favorites are ones like Grant Morrison. He tells a story about an alien abduction where the aliens tell him that they live outside of space and time and can't create anything because you need time to grow things. So they come here to use us as their artistic expression. Like, we we are an idea art farm, essentially. And people have told me William Burroughs has the same idea. And you find these things. There's this book that's so beautiful. It's one of my favorite paranormal books. It's called Mutants and Mystics by Dr. Jeffrey Kripal. And it's all about cartoonists and artists' experiences. And like whether it's an abduction experience like that one, or these people that have time slips and precognitive experiences at the drawing table. And there's so much of that. And I really think that humans are here to make stuff. And I think death is part of that. I don't think you can make stuff without the linear thing. And there was this really, I should look up her name because I referenced this twice now on the podcast this week. But there was the most recent guest on Doug Rushkoff's Team Human podcast. She was explaining how essentially we are the only thing we know of on this planet that has an internal linear storytelling function. And that's kind of our superpower. Like that is what we are really good at. And what we've lost is this kind of cultural unifying narrative. Like it used to be, and like she cited all these studies where certain TV shows caused more social movement than like policies or like protesting, where like having these narratives in people's houses that they were all consuming at the same time allowed people to see other lives as the same as their own. And we don't really have that anymore, because depending on what streaming platform you subscribe to, or what, like, you know, all these different ways to consume media. And that's, I've been stuck on that, right? I've been really stuck on this idea of how important mythology is to cultures, and how that bifurcation is like really obvious right now, and how that impacts things like the afterlife, or like our little mission of making things in time and space, right? Like, I think it's very, it's all connected to me somehow, but your model is right in line with all of that and exactly what I love. There's a beautiful book that, one of my friends, Joshua Cutchin, wrote, that's called The Ecology of Souls, which is one of my favorite Terrence McKenna quotes. And but it's essentially a new mythology of the paranormal and death. Like it's a 3-book series that's relating all of these different paranormal experiences and finding death motifs in them, right? And he has this one part where he talks about this idea of reincarnation. And I love this way of looking at it, where it's like, I guess it's reincarnation. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it's essentially this giant pool or lake of souls, and all the souls go back there. And then it's like a condensation that makes the rain. So little bits of each soul get sucked back up in a cloud and then rains back down into different bodies. So everybody's got a little bit of everybody else in them. So like when people identify as Cleopatra or Elvis, they probably got like a little bit more Cleopatra or Elvis in them, you know? And I love those things. Cause I do also love the idea that like, the kids pick the parents and the parents pick the kids for certain journeys throughout stuff to get like, that's like one of those really weird ideas that I really love to think about. And I think there's value in all of these models. And I come from the Robert Anton Wilson, like maintain agnosticism all the times, like make sure I don't marry to any one idea, but I love all of them, if that makes sense. Like I like just totally. Kind of sitting and thinking about this stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's really fun to talk to other people about it too. What's the best way to ask this? Hold on, let me think a second. I don't usually, do you get to utilize, like when you're getting into a, let's say, certain philosopher or spiritual thinker or something along those lines, like, what is it that resonates with you? Like, what is it usually that clicks with you? That's like, this is something I want to hear more of, or this is somebody that like, I'm appreciating their worldview, or I'm always interested in what it is that gets people to stick with certain ideas or idea generators.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see. I would say like people who have published books that I have really enjoyed their vision. It's funny too, because these are both like authors that were recommended to me by my parents. But anyway, it's funny because my parents and my husband and I, we are all just like ideas people, and we like love ideas. So we love like learning like different ways of looking at things. And so like one author who's also a creative is Austin Kleon, and he wrote books like Show Your Work and Steal Like an Artist and Keep Going.
I know Steal Like an Artist. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I love awesome. All of them. Like, and it's nice because you can just pick it up and like get inspired for a sec, but I've read all of them obviously. Our coffee business is actually named after one of the like little chapters in Show Your Work, I think, because there is a chapter called Be an Amateur.
That's perfect.
I know. Beautiful. So like, hopefully he will know someday, but let's see. But like for that, it was like, oh, like none of us are actually original. We're all just influencing each other. And then when we create things, we are creating like only what we can make because it's coming from us. So it's like, it's not going to be like anyone else anyway, even if you try to copy someone. That was huge. I was like, yes, like that. I identify with that. And then like another like huge influence for me has been like Don Miguel Ruiz, because like that philosophy of like the Toltecs has just like so focused around everybody having their own perspective. And then also around the idea that like we are all like getting, I think programmed is the right word. Like we all are constantly receiving information and trying to make sense of things. And we're all like programmed to like view things a certain way. And so it's really fun when you can kind of, this is my takeaway, is like, oh, I can play with my programming. I can like question it and I can be like, ooh, what if we did this?
But, absolutely.
But like,
that's what's beautiful about,
you're good. But yeah, like that's what really stopped me is like, oh, like everyone's perspective is so different. And like, he calls it, what's it called when you get like a pet and, oh, you like take an animal from the wilderness and make it a pet. What's that called? Yeah. So he calls it domestication when you like take us and you start teaching what's right and wrong. You're like, this is what's right and this is what's wrong to children. And then you start making sense of it, right? With your experiences and what people of influence in your life tell you and what you choose to agree with. And I think that's what really stuck is like, do you agree with the belief being expressed or being upheld? And if you choose to not agree with it, all of a sudden you're free from that agreement that everyone else seems to agree with. Does that make sense?
Beautiful.
And I'm like, that's so freeing. 100%.
It is 100% makes sense. And especially from somebody that has kids who sees the like the domestication happen and like tries to walk that line of being like, well, it's such a funny word to use, but yeah, you have to domesticate them X amount so that they can function in the society and like go to school and not have breakdowns and like get through. Like there's a certain part of it that is, but it's definitely, man, that's super interesting and something that I think language plays such a huge role in that type of thing. And the type of language that we use at a very young age is very interesting to me. And the way that kids play with language, right? Like language is a lot more flexible and pliable when you're young, and we get rigid as we get older with it.
Not
I
me.
Feel like that,
I'm not rigid.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful, because I think that is that, like, that is what makes like people that can function outside, like when you say, okay, I don't agree, and that agreement dissolves, that's one thing. But then to take that and be able to still function within the other agreements is that's the part that I think is really hard. Like, I think it's hard to like run a successful business while you're disagreeing with part of the agreements, if that makes sense. You know what
totally.
I mean? Like, it's very, it's a tough balancing act, right?
Yeah. And I've had, this is like what I've learned from that. I'm not afraid to be different. And I find that like, it's kind of weird. I'm like, okay, the people who have chosen to work for me, like soul-wise, I'm like, did you choose this? Okay, so you're here and we're teaching each other things, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like I've literally witnessed it where people will be like, I feel weird about this. Like when we first opened and everything was vegan and people are like, are you sure? Like, this is weird. And we got judgment. We got people saying stuff. And I'm just like, that's cool. You don't have to come here. Like, that's fine. And they're like, what? Or like when we like introduced our reusable glass jar program for to-go drinks and took away the option of trash, right? People are like, our employees especially at the time were kind of like I feel weird about this. Like, how do we tell them it costs money to take this? And I'm like, you just do it. You just I'm like, oh, if you just like tell them if they ask, like it's not a big deal. But they were like so scared. And then that's where I really saw that mirrored back to me, where I'm like, I'm not afraid to try things and be different than other people doing similar things. I'm like, we can play here. It doesn't have to look a certain way. Totally. And they're like afraid to play. And I'm like, okay, no, this is how you do it. And I find that just being kind and having that like, well, this is what we do, it's okay, like you don't have, like it's okay, like if you don't want to do it, like you can drink your coffee here, do you want to do that? And then I find that it just like, it's the paradigm shift where people are like, oh, okay, I guess that's fine. Or they get mad and they leave. And that's happened twice, maybe, where they're like, I don't want a jar. And you're like, okay. And then they leave and you're like, okay, well, that was weird. But it's like, that is, for a minute, for a minute, they've been challenged. And they're like, worldview, they're like, in a such a small way, but their worldview has been challenged, you know?
No, that's huge, because people need that challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's super important for people to encounter in a culture where it's a customer's always right culture, where it's a, and I think this is a big distinction between business owners. There's business owners that make something in which they have a vision for and that they can create a playful environment with and like have exactly what you just talked, or you have business owners that are just trying to make the most out of that situation as far as money goes, and they're going to say, yeah, of course we have to go cups, how could we ever get rid of, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely, there's two different ways of looking at that, and it's so nice to, without that playful approach to it, it could come across very poorly. And I like, I think that's such a better way. Like, playfulness is so undervalued in our culture, right? And people don't apply it to business. And no matter what you do, you gamify it. Even the shittiest job I ever had, you make a game out of it as much as you can, and you play with it. And like, I think people just forget that, or they don't feel like they have the freedom to do that in their job. So it's nice that you use that language and are trying to give that space for that playfulness.
Yes. And when we do things, when I do things differently, or when we do things differently, we also show other people what's possible. Yeah. Like, because then they can be like, oh, you can do that? Like, yeah. I was even, actually for us, even personally, I was like so mad. Okay, so with the jars, I was so like, mad about people just getting drinks to go and then throwing them away immediately, like before they left. And I'm like, why didn't you just get it for here? And I'm like, oh, I know how we fix this. We don't give them the option. But I was like, how do we do that? And then I was inspired actually by a coffee shop in Iowa, in Des Moines, called Horizon Line. And I was like, they're doing jars. We can do that. You can do that. So like, in a way, they gave me permission to do that. Does that make sense?
100%. So the only, 100%.
Yeah, when do things like differently, you give people permission to like try that themselves, or to like be like, oh, what could I do differently, right? And then of course you're gonna get weird backlash, because people love to talk, people love to gossip, people love to like have opinions about things, and it's like, okay, cool, like have opinions about it, because then more people know about it.
Exactly. No, it's such a true statement. And I think that's a beautiful way to look. Even the screen printing of Brandywine bags, right? Like, that was something that I was working for a screen printer, my buddy JP, who also does all of the design work for this coffee shop in Maryland, coffee roastery, Rise Up. And they used to screen print their subscription coffee bags. And that was part of what I would help them screen print. So when Allie was like, we're starting a coffee roastery, I'm like, I know what we do. We screen print the bags and I draw weird stuff for them. And like, that was 100% just because I had been printing coffee bags before, and like we were just the first people to do it for all of our coffee bags instead of just some. And like, that was enough. But the best thing that's come from Brandywine for me is going to things like the expo in April and having people be like, I felt comfortable making weird coffee bags because you guys did it. Like, I didn't realize that that was going to be a thing. Like, I just kind of was like, I'm going to make things the only way I know how to make them, and maybe it'll be good. But like, so many people came up and were like, I hope you don't think that we're like ripping you off. I'm like, no, this is like, the more fun imagery and creativity and the more fun that's in the industry, the better. Like, I want everybody to have silly, colorful bags, honestly. Like, I'm not sitting here like, same thing with like the coffee itself. Like, I want everybody to roast like weird, funky naturals and like
co-ferments and all this stuff.
they're like, when we started Brandywine, we worked with a couple importers, and we slowly grew. Like, now we probably roast like 70-80% of our coffees natural or experimental processing, right? Mm-hmm. And like, when we started growing that way, the importers were like, what are you doing with all of this stuff? Because at that point, like 80% of the coffee in America was still washed coffee. Like, it was still like, even on the specialty side, people wanted that really refined, clean, floral. That was like, that sought after. Where for me, coming from outside side of the coffee industry. I'm like, I don't taste none of this shit you guys are talking about. But I had this natural Ethiopian that says it tastes like Pop-Tarts, and it kind of tasted like Pop-Tarts. Like, let's get more of that. You know, like that was like, it was more not only that I enjoyed the flavor better, but it was that confidence booster of the connection between like, this is what the bag says, and I actually kind of taste that, which is like my favorite part of the co-ferments. Like that is the part that I love the most about these coffees, is that when we get a bag of like orange co-fermented coffee and open it, it smells like orange juice. Like there's not that disconnect with the customer, because even the fancier coffee drinkers, they, like I said, all taste is subjective. So, you know, we try and use terminology like we taste and things like that. So people know this is just kind of like what we taste. But at the end of the day, people still use those as guides. And when they don't match up with their experience, we still get the emails like, hey, we're not quite getting this note out of this and stuff. And it's like, totally get it. It's a whole hard thing to identify. But with these co-ferments, it bypasses that altogether, because it just tastes like blueberries or it just tastes like strawberries. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's what I want. Like,
Oh my gosh, we did something like that when we first started our roasting company, like 2015, 2016. And we like fermented coffee with chai spices. And amazing. I know. And like after that, we're like, okay, we can't do this anymore, because then people were like wanting that. And then we were trying to do the specialty thing. Okay. Like, but
yes.
But I remember doing that because we were just like playing around with it, and it did taste like chai. So yeah, it's cool. I love how coffee is so like absorbent.
It's amazing. It really is. And like, I got to talk to like one of the producers, Rodrigo Sanchez. He's the main co-ferment innovator that we work with, right? And like, this is a new thing for him that he's been doing for the last like 6 years, 5 years, maybe even less. And when I was talking to him about why he did it, he was like, well, two things. One, the cherries, the actual coffee cherries, they're coming to fruition with less sugar than ever. And we're doing the same exact thing we've always done. It's just environmentally, with the way that the weather's changing and everything else, like we just don't get the same quality that we used to get. This is a way to reintroduce quality naturally. Like this is a way to take it and reintroduce that value. And the other thing is, he says exactly what I said, like, these coffees are a little bit more expensive, but it's not like when you're buying a $50 bag of geisha and you're like, I guess I taste the jasmine honey floral. Like, you know, it's not that experience. Mm-hmm. Like, you might spend a little bit more on this, but you're going to taste the blueberry. There's going to be that like confidence boost connection thing. And it's so cool to hear. I like in coffee or anything else, when the people that are making the product lead the trends, right? Like, I think that's been a problem in coffee for a long time, is that markets like ours dictate trends that aren't sustainable for agricultural stuff. That's not, I'm not saying anything revolutionary. Like, that's a very well-known fact, right? These co-ferments, and it kind of sucks that they are getting pushback still. Some people are still like, that's not pure coffee. It's like, you know,
flavored,
just not chemically. That's what I say. I'm like, this is fun coffee. This is like, this is the stuff that you're going to actually open eyes with. And like, this is what's going to save everything, is creativity and imagination, as far as
you
I'm concerned.
You need both.
But
you need the purist and the experimentalist. It's fine.
Yes. Yes. And I'm in the, I like everything else, that third path right in the middle. Like we that's the thing. Like, I love what you said, that mentality of like, that's fine. You don't have to buy the co-ferments. You can, we have plenty of other washed coffees that are, you know, 92 point coffees that are beautiful, and you can have those, but we're still going to, you know, invest in this thing that our producing partners I really believe in and we believe in. So it's just funny how people are like, why are you doing that? And it's like, well, because we can do both, right? Like, why can't we do both?
Well, and like, there's so many people around and like other coffee companies in our city where it's like, if you don't like what we're doing, there's so many other local people you can go support too that are maybe doing more what you want. It's like, it's fine. I will not be offended, because back to the authenticity thing, we've actually brought the people in that want to do what we, that want what we have. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
No, absolutely. And when you actually create that community, you start talking to those people, you realize that it's not just the good coffee, it's not just the hospitality, it's not just the cute coffee bags, it's all of it. And it's you, and it's your husband, it's what we just talked about. It's the whole, like, when people meet me, and like, they're like, oh, this lines up with the bags. Like, I get it. Like, we'll start talking about aliens and weird stuff, and they're like, okay, like this aligns with what I thought would happen.
Yes.
It's that, like, it really is. Like, when you, and I hate keep using the word brand, but there's not a better word for it, right? But when you actually put your authenticity and put yourself into a brand, people are buying a bigger package than just mm-hmm. one thing, you know? And I think that's lost and hard to verbalize sometimes, especially like, it's a unique situation to view things, like to be able to create that and like interact with people in that way. Right. But it's one of those things that I think, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling now because I lost my train of thought, but I love that it seems like what you do is resonating with the right people in your community.
Yes. Like they're feeling seen, or they're like, this is my spot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. And back to like the natural process and the art, I just want to say that I feel like that's such a good pairing, because I haven't really thought about that, but like I'm obsessed with natural processes too. We have so many natural processes. And so like the fact that it's like we want our coffee and you want your coffee to be just as like vibrant and amazing and fun as like the art. It's like,
exactly. Yes.
Like, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, no, I think that's like, and that's the type of thing where it's hard to talk to people about. Like, I don't ever say that, right? Like, it's not mm-hmm. like that's like on our website where it's like, we roast mainly natural coffees because we want, you know, like that's the, like, and that's what I'm trying to, like, what that's the brands I resonate best with don't ever have to say it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of thing that I love that is something that is able to accomplish out there, because it is something that is like, it hints at that weirder side of things. Like it really mm-hmm. hints to that like global mythology and narrative, and like making the stuff that we want to consume, and that like, you know, kind of, not that we can change the world with little coffee companies, but we can
at
least
changing the world.
Like,
what are you talking about?
we're doing our part to put what we want to see out there. And I think it's mm-hmm. important to have people in every little subsect and industry and everything, like, you know, these people need to be everywhere, coffee and outside of the food world, everything. So mm-hmm. yeah, I guess that's a long way of saying thank you for doing what you do. And I'll make sure I link like all of your Instagram and all the fun stuff so people can see your artwork. And like, I'll make sure I link the coffee shops and the roasteries page and everything, because I want people to see it for sure. But yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap it up. We are a little over an hour, so I don't want to take your whole afternoon. And I'm starting to get the I need to eat soon brain fatigue. I feel it coming on. When I get rambly, I'm like, oh, it's probably lunchtime.
Yes, sounds good. Me too.
Too much coffee, not enough food, right?
Cool. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Right back at you.
No, all nothing right. particular. Just tell people where to find your work, how to support what you're doing. And like I said, I'll make sure I link it all. But yeah, let people know where to find you.
Right now? Okay, great. Hello. let's see. Well, I am mostly on Instagram and online, on my website. So as myself as an artist, I'm Jasmine Wickert, and it's jasminewickert.com. And then Amateur Coffee is also on Instagram, mostly. So that's Amateur Coffee, and then amateurcoffee.com.
And I'll have all those links. You should definitely check out the off. I almost combined art and coffee somehow. Check out Jasmine's art and the coffee art fee. That'd be way better. That's my kid is all about portmanteaus. Isn't that what that's called when you put two words together? Is that right?
I don't know.
But he's all about, I think it's a portmanteau. I'm not going to check right now. Somebody let me know if I'm wrong. But he calls, like, he'll just jam. He's got two teachers in his classroom, like a teacher and a teacher assistant. And they're named Lauren and Megan. And he just calls them Lar-Meg now. And that's what he does for everything. And I'm like, you're amazing. I love this. And I hope he doesn't do it to them, but he probably does.
He probably does.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, Jasmine, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds fun.